You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Get ready, everyone, for two episodes of Dangerous Assignment here at 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. This was an NBC radio drama starring Brian Dunleavy, broadcast in the U.S. from 1949 to 1953. The series premise? The commissioner sends U.S. Special Agent Steve Mitchell to exotic locales all over the world, where he encounters adventure and international intrigue in pursuit of some secret. Each show would always open with a brief teaser scene from the episode to follow. After the intro, Steve Mitchell would be summoned to the office of the commissioner, the regional head of an unnamed U.S. State Department agency created to address international unrest as it affected U.S. interests. Crime solving on an international level. Hope you enjoy it.
Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Dunleavy as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though. Trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize this assignment's going to end up with my saving a guy's life by punching him right in the face. Morning, Commissioner. Ruth said you wanted to see me.
I do, Steve.
What's the deal this time?
The Ketnik talks.
He does?
No, it is.
Hey, what is this, the vaudeville routine?
Yeah, you're on first.
How am I doing?
Well,
look, you better start from the beginning, huh?
Steve, tomorrow representatives of two Balkan countries are to meet in the border town of Ketnik.
Huh?
And don't start that again. To engage in some informal but highly important talks. To see if they can't iron out some of the difficulties that exist between them.
Sounds like a good idea, Commissioner. Maybe more countries should do a thing like that, huh?
Ordinarily, it would be a good idea, Steve. But there are two factors present in the situation that give the whole thing a slight aroma.
What do you mean?
In the first place, one of these countries, let's call it Country A, is controlled by interests which have a long-standing reputation for not wanting to smooth things out.
I see.
Not only that, according to our information, they have their eyes on Country B and would like some excuse to move in.
Well, granted that these Ketnik peace talks don't smell so sweet under those circumstances, what business is this of ours?
Ordinarily, it wouldn't be. But General Traska, the representative from Country A, has contacted us undercover and wants to talk to one of our agents. You've been elected.
What does he want to talk about?
We don't know, except that whatever it is, he insists on complete secrecy.
I don't like it, Commissioner. It could be some sort of a trick.
I don't like it either, Steve, but we've got to go along with it and find out what General Traska has on his mind.
Why?
Because he's offering us bait we can't refuse. The return of File 72 with the seal unbroken.
What?
That's right. As you know, File 72 is a plan of our troop dispositions in Europe. It was stolen from this country 2 weeks ago.
But how did General Traska get his hands on it?
Who knows? And at this point, who cares? It's vital that we get that file back, Steve.
Okay, how do I go about it?
Well, here's the schedule. General Traska is flying his own plane across the border to Ketnik sometime tomorrow night. The next day, he's holding a press conference. You're going to attend the general's press conference, posing as a foreign correspondent. When you ask the general a certain question, that will identify you to him.
Sounds like quite a lot of hocus-pocus.
The general insists on absolute secrecy. And as I said before, we'll have to go along with him for the time being. Now, Steve, get over to Ketnik and find out what's on General Traska's mind. And most important, bring File 72 back with you. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
The National Broadcasting Company is presenting transcribed Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Dunleavy in the role of Steve Mitchell, colorful, two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment.
Sure, I've got my assignment. Just a simple matter of dropping in on a trouble spot in the Balkans and arranging a secret talk with an unfriendly general right under the noses of several assorted diplomats, cops, and correspondents. A real cinch. It's Tuesday when my plane gets to Ketnik, and I head for Joseph's tobacco shop.
Good morning, sir.
Morning. You, Joseph?
Yes. You would perhaps like to look at some of my choice pipe tobacco?
Yes, I would, if you've got any set aside for Steve Mitchell.
Steve Mitchell. You know, sir, it's a strange thing about names.
Huh?
Well, look at all these cans of tobacco on my shelves.
Hmm?
Each one has a name, probably selected at random and put on them.
You're asking what's in the name, huh?
I am simply suggesting that they mean very little. A name is for anyone who cares to use.
Oh? Well, these credentials aren't.
I see. You understand, of course, that men in my position cannot afford to take chances.
Yeah. Okay. What's the deal, Joseph?
General Tresca will hold the press conference in his hotel room in 1 hour. He will be smoking a pipe. At the end of the conference, you will ask him what kind of tobacco he's smoking.
Tobacco?
Yes. You will add that it smells good. He will reply that it is his own private mixture and that he will give you a sample.
Okay, I've got it.
Then he will arrange a private interview with you. If you wish to transmit a report of that interview to your commissioner, bring it to me and I will take care of it for you.
Okay, thanks, Joseph. I'll check with you later.
Good morning.
Hi. Is this General Traska's room?
Yes, the general is inside.
Thanks.
One moment, please.
What's the matter?
Why do you wish to see the general?
What's it to you?
I assure you it is a great deal to me. You will please answer my question.
Look, before I start answering questions, I'd like to know who's asking them.
I am Captain Riki of the military.
Oh, I see. Most members of the military wear uniforms.
On certain occasions, it is better not to. Now, you will please tell me why you wish to see General Traska.
He's holding a press conference, and I'm a newspaper correspondent.
Your credentials, please.
Here you are, Captain.
So, Steve Mitchell, Transocean News Service.
Well?
They appear to be genuine.
Appear to be? Brother, you're really a cautious guy, aren't you?
In the present situation, caution is essential, Mr. Mitchell.
Just what is the present situation, Captain?
One of extreme tension between my country and the country represented by General Traska. I have been selected as the general's bodyguard while he is a guest of this country.
I see. Well, if you'll quit bodyguarding that door, I'd like to get in on that press conference.
Of course.
I'll probably be seeing you.
You may count on that, Mr. Mitchell. As long as this conference is in session, you will be seeing me frequently.
And so, in conclusion, gentlemen of the press, I would like to say simply that I came to this country as a representative of my government in peace. We seek nothing more than a friendly understanding that would pave the way toward a lasting brotherhood between our two countries. Are there any more questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
General Traska.
Yes?
I wonder if you'd mind telling me what kind of tobacco you're smoking. It smells good.
Not at all, sir, not at all. It happens to be my own private mixture, but I would be glad to give you a sample of it.
Thanks a lot, General.
It's no trouble, no trouble at all.
General Traska ushers the other correspondents out the door. I start to hang back, but he gives me a slight shake of the head. Then I see why. Captain Riki out in the hall is counting noses as the reporters leave, so I go down into the lobby and wait. 5 minutes later, the general comes down and goes over to one of the house phones. I follow him. He picks up the receiver, but holds the hook down with his finger. I do likewise to the phone next to him.
Keep your back turned to me, Mitchell.
Okay. You got file 72, General?
Yes.
Is the seal still unbroken?
Yes.
Okay, what's on your mind?
You and your country are businessmen, Mitchell. I'm certain you will approve of my little plan.
That all depends on what your little plan is, General.
Let us say that your country is not in sympathy with the form of government which now exists in my country across the border from here.
Well, I guess you can safely say that, all right. So what?
So perhaps the form of government in my country could be changed.
Yeah? Who's going to change it?
I am.
You? Let's have that again.
My plans have been completed for weeks. I have key men in certain spots, and I will have a major part of the army behind me.
You know, a thing like your planning could get pretty bloody.
The end justifies the means.
Oh? Just what kind of government are you planning to install in your country?
I and my followers are tired of these bungling, mediocre bureaucrats who have been running our country. What we need is a strong leader, one who will rule with an iron hand. I am that leader.
Mm-hmm. You know, it seems to me I've heard this tune before a few times. You think your brand of government would give your citizens any more liberty than what they've got now?
I am not here to discuss philosophies of government with you, but to make to you a business proposition.
The return of File 72 in return for our support, huh?
Precisely.
Look, General, you ought to know my government better than that. You ought to know they don't go in for supporting...
Mitchell, may I remind you once more that this is a business transaction? There is little room in the world today for ethics. One must be practical. Rest assured, whether I give you your File 72 or not depends on your answer to my proposition.
I see. Well, look, General, I don't have any power to give you an answer on a thing like that. I'd have to check with my boss.
I cannot give you much time, Mitchell.
How much?
12 hours. No more.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
12 hours, Mitchell.
Jessica hangs up his phone and heads back upstairs. I know I've got to get word to the commissioner, so I go back to Joseph's tobacco shop. There's no one in the front of the shop, so I head for the back room. Dark in the room. Suddenly I hear a sound. Something creaking. I hit the light switch. Then I spot Joseph, and I know that he's just gone out of business. You can't sell much tobacco when you're dangling from the end of a rope.
I didn't figure you'd be calling me direct, Steve. Is anything wrong?
Yeah. The man who was going to carry the message suddenly went out of business.
I see. Did you contact the party?
Yeah. Let's put it this way. He wants to take over the corporation he works for, and he wants our help.
I understand. You know, of course, that it's against the policy and ethics of our corporation to support a transaction like that.
That's what I told him. But unless we do, he says he won't turn over that little item to us. I told him I'd transmit his proposition to you. I already knew what the answer would be, but I had to stall for time.
Yeah, well, this is bad, Steve. You've got the pressure on us.
Yeah, if I could only... Hey, wait a minute. You know, Commissioner, pressure can sometimes be reversed.
What do you mean?
Well, it just occurred to me the officials of the corporation he works for wouldn't like his plan much if they were to find out about him. I might use that as a sort of a lever on him.
That's a good hunch. Go to work on it. I...
Hello? 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 The phone's dead. It's obviously been cut. I ease over to the window, and there are loose wires dangling. Then I hear someone at the front door, so I slip out the back door and head for General Traska's hotel. It looks like somebody's onto the general. That means I've got to move fast. Just as I'm entering the lobby, there's a commotion on the street outside. A few cops are wrestling with a guy, and I think I spot Captain Ricci among them. I go on up to the general's room, but he doesn't answer my knock. The door is unlocked, so I go on in. There's a figure sitting in a chair. I think it's the general, but I can't be sure because he looks like he's been worked over with a crowbar, and he's very dead. I give the room a fast frisk, but File 72 is nowhere in sight. I run down to the lobby and over to the phone, but just as I pick up the receiver, somebody slides their thumb over the hook.
Who are you calling?
Get your thumb up.
Oh.
Captain Ricci.
Captain Ricci, who are you calling?
As a matter of fact, you.
Oh? Why?
Oh, no reason in particular. Just a little matter of General Traska being murdered.
What?
Yep. I thought you might be interested. Being his bodyguard, pretty careless of you, or maybe... Was it a little more than just carelessness?
Mr. Mitchell, I warn you, I have too much on my mind right now to have any patience with the morbid inventions of a cheap journalist.
Oh, so I'm just imagining the whole thing, huh? Well, if you'd be kind enough to step upstairs, I'd be glad to show you my morbid invention, sitting in a chair with his head bashed in.
Very well. For the moment, I will indulge your imagination. Come, we will visit the general's room. Here we are.
Yep, here we are, Ricci. Now we'll see whether I'm imagining things or not. There he is, sitting right... Hey, he's gone.
But of course.
What do you mean, but of course? I tell you, I saw him sitting in that chair dead not 5 minutes ago.
I think you have carried your little game far enough, Mitchell.
Look, it's no game, I tell you.
And now I tell you, 15 minutes ago, General Traska left this hotel, and he was very much alive.
Why?
I personally saw him into his car and sent two of my men with
him.
So obviously he could not have been murdered in this room when he is alive somewhere else.
Just a minute.
In other words, Mitchell, this entire thing was only a figment of your imagination.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Whether it's comedy, music, or drama you're after, you'll find it on The Big Show tomorrow. The dynamic Tallulah is your hostess, and her guests include Fred Allen, Jimmy Durante, Vivian Blaine, Jane Morgan, and Rudy Valley. You're invited every Sunday to The Big Show. And tomorrow also means a one-hour adaptation of F. Scott Fitzgerald's exciting novel, This Side of Paradise, presented by Theater Guild on the Air and starring Richard Widmark and Nina Foch. You're listening to Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Well, right now it looks like I've got no friends at all in this deal. Captain Ricky lied about General Traska. Why? Maybe the boys in Traska's country found out the general was trying to double-cross him and killed him. Ricky could be in league with them, and he might even be the boy who knocked off Traska. At any rate, I know I can't tell Ricky who I am and why I'm here now. I'll go down to the lobby and check with the desk clerk. He says he saw General Traska leave the hotel 20 minutes ago. So he's lying, too. Great. I head for the bar to think things over, and then I hear a little gent telling the bartender about a big street fiesta going on down the block and about the general making a speech there. I collar the guy, and he swears he really saw General Traska there just 5 minutes ago. So I go down the street. It's a big deal with music and dancing and general whoop-de-doo. I stop a couple of dancers and ask him if the general was really there.
Yeah. The general, he made a big speech to us. He left just a minute ago. Yeah, we all saw him.
Yeah, thanks. Oh. Thanks a lot.
Mr. Mitchell.
Huh? Who are you?
I am Anton, the porter at the hotel. I have information for you.
What about?
General Traska.
Look, if you're going to tell me you saw General Traska a few minutes ago, save it.
But I...
Either this whole town is against me, or else I really did imagine things. And at this point, I'm beginning to wonder...
I assure you, Mr. Mitchell, you are not imagining things.
What?
I did see General Traska leave the hotel, but he was being carried out by the police, and he was quite dead.
Well, so I have got one friend after all, or have I?
What do you mean?
Why are you telling me this, Anton?
Well, you see, sir, a porter at the hotel makes very little money, and...
I get it. Okay, you just got yourself a 10-buck raise. Here.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell.
Well, what else can you tell me?
Only that shortly before they took the general's body from the hotel, they arrested the man and took him to jail.
Yeah, I remember now. As I entered the hotel, I saw Ricky's boys wrestling with a guy out front. Okay, thanks, Anna. I'll see what I can find out at that jail.
What do you wish?
You in charge here, Sergeant?
Yes, why?
I understand you arrested a man near the hotel earlier this evening.
I know nothing of such a way.
Now, look.
As you see, there is no such entry here in the records.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, but do you mind if I take a look back there in the cell block?
No one can go in there without a pass.
Hey, who issues the passes?
Captain Ricky.
Oh, great.
Will there be anything else?
I guess not. Hey, what's all that noise? Sounds like it's coming from one of the cells. Death Sergeant whirls around and heads for the back of the joint. I'm right after him. Then we see what causes all the noise. Two guards in one of the cells are cutting down a guy who just tried to hang himself. Then I recognize the guy. He's the same one Ricky and his boys arrested outside the hotel at the time of General Traska's murder. At this point, the sergeant remembers me and politely but firmly ushers me out of the jail. I start walking down the street, and all of a sudden, I've got company.
If you don't mind, I will walk with you away, Mitchell.
Well, Captain Ricky, that was an interesting little sight I just witnessed in your jail.
Interesting sight? I am afraid I do not understand.
No, of course not. I mean the gent who just tried to hang himself.
Oh, that. Just a harmless drunk. We had him taken to the prison hospital.
Just a harmless drunk, huh? Funny. I'd swear it was the same guy you arrested outside General Traska's hotel right after he was murdered. Excuse me, I mean right after I saw a figment of my imagination sitting in a chair, dead.
For your information, Mitchell, I understand that General Traska has suddenly decided to fly back to his own country.
Oh?
Which brings me to the point.
What's that?
You are a reporter, and a reporter without news is of no use to anyone.
So?
So there is no longer any news here in Ketnik.
Maybe I suddenly like it here.
The conference has been canceled. The general is leaving. I should think there would be other places where you could find much more news to write about.
Okay, I got the message. And if I don't get out of town?
It would be unfortunate if you had to write a story about an accident, Mitchell.
My own, of course.
The next train leaves in 1 hour, Mitchell. I sincerely hope I will not see you here in Ketnik after that.
So, now I've got just 1 hour to find File 72. And that means I've got to find out what they did with General Traska's body. Then I think of Anton, the little hotel porter. Maybe I can get some information out of him. I get his address from the desk clerk and go over.
Yes, what? Mr. Mitchell, what are you doing here at this hour?
I want to talk to you, Anton.
But this is late.
Look, are you still interested in increasing your salary?
But of course.
Here's another 10.
What do you wish to know?
You say you saw the police take General Traska's body out of the hotel.
Yes, also his clothing and briefcase.
Do you have any idea where they took them?
Why, no, none at all.
Anton, you must help me.
Tovich, you fool.
Hey, this is the guy who tried to hang himself in jail.
Tovich, I could kill you for your stupidity.
You must protect me, Anton. I pretended to attempt a suicide knowing he would take me to the hospital. I escaped from there, but now the police are turning the city upside down to find me.
Hey, what's this
all
about?
Shut up, Tovich. This man is a newspaper correspondent.
I don't care what he is. You must protect me. It was on your orders I killed the general.
Tovich!
You had me brought across the border when we learned that the general was going to betray us. You said you would protect me, but now I see you never intended to. No, Anton. No!
And you next, Mitchell.
Sorry, Anton.
Stay right where you are, Mitchell. Drop that gun.
Well, Captain Rickey.
I said drop it.
Okay. I sort of expected to see you around here along about now.
And I am not surprised to see you here. You had Tovich kill General Traska. Now he has outlived his usefulness, so you kill him.
Look, that's a pretty neat attempt to cover up, but it won't work, Ricky. Anton there on the floor killed Tovich, and he was about to do likewise to me when I jumped him.
It does not matter who killed Tovich. Your plan to create an incident over the killing of the general will not work. I have kept his murder a secret so far, and it will remain a secret.
Incident? Look, I don't follow you.
It is obvious. Your interests learned that General Traska was trying to betray you. You have also been looking for an excuse to start trouble with my country. Here was a golden opportunity to accomplish both things at once. You had Traska killed here in my country, then sought to make it public, hoping this would create an incident which might provoke war.
So that's why you've been keeping the murder a secret. Huh. I guess that's one for the book. You've been thinking I was working with those interests, and I've been thinking the same thing about you.
It is more than a thought about you. It is a fact.
I think it's about time we laid a few cards on the table, Ricky. Or should I say credentials? Here, take a look.
It will do you no good to... Wait.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
United States government.
That's right. When you started lying about Traska's murder, I thought you were working with the killers. That's why I didn't show you those credentials before.
I owe you an apology, Mr. Mitchell.
That's okay. And I must say you did a good job of briefing your citizens about covering up the killing. I was beginning to think that I really was crazy until I met Anton. Now I see why he wanted me to know Traska really was dead. He figured I was a reporter and would make headlines out of it.
I still do not understand your interest in this matter.
It's very simple. General Traska had in his possession a document stolen from my country, File 72. I've got to get it back. I guess now that'll be pretty simple. You've probably got Traska's body hidden somewhere. If you just take me there, I'll go through his papers and find the thing, and then my job is done.
I'm afraid it's not that easy, Mitchell.
What do you mean?
I told you earlier in the evening that General Traska had suddenly decided to fly back to his own country.
Now, don't start that again. Well, Traska is dead.
Yes, I know. But we are going to make it look like that murder was an accident and that it took place in Traska's own country.
How?
At this moment, one of our pilots is taking off in Traska's plane with Traska's body. Just before he crosses the river, which marks the border, he will make a low-altitude parachute jump. Traska's plane will crash into some low hills on the other side of the border.
But what about that document I'm after?
I placed Traska's briefcase in his plane myself, untouched. I wanted all his papers to be in order.
Oh, great. That means... Wait. Maybe I'm in the clear after all. The plane crashes, bursts into flame, and the document is destroyed.
No. The pilot will cut the switch before he jumps. Hmm? We want Traska's body to be in good enough condition so that positive identification can be made.
Then I'm heading for the wreckage of that plane.
Mitchell, are you crazy? Are you insane? It will mean crossing the border and trying to escape detection by their patrols.
Don't worry. I know exactly what it means.
Then you must not.
I also know I was sent over here to get File 72, and I'm going to get it.
But, Mitchell...
Where will I find that wreckage?
You cannot make it alone.
Then I'll find out.
Are you determined to go?
What do you think?
I think I had better go with you. Come.
So we pile into Ricky's jeep and head for the river, which marks the border. The airport is back about 15 miles, so it looks like it's going to be a dead heat. And it is. Just as we pull up at the river, we hear a plane overhead. The engine is cut, and we see a parachute billowing out. The plane goes into a glide, heading straight for the hills across the river.
It crashed, Mitchell.
Yeah. Hey, how deep is this river?
We will have to swim it. This area of the border is not heavily guarded. It will take their patrols about 15 minutes to get to the scene of the plane crash.
15 minutes? It'll take us 10 of them to get across the river.
Okay, come on. Start swimming, brother.
Wreckage of the plane on that rise ahead of us, Mitchell.
Yeah, no one in sight either. Good.
We must work fast. I'm certain they heard the sound of the crash and we'll send a patrol.
Here we are. Fuselage is still pretty much in one piece. Here,
help me pry this door open. All right.
There's the general's body, all right. Where'd you put his briefcase?
Behind the seat.
Okay. Brother... This plane is really torn apart. You got a flashlight, Ricky?
Yes.
Bring it in here. I can't see a thing.
Very well.
Watch it. There's a lot of jagged metal around.
Yes, I see it.
Okay. Flash your light around. Wait a minute. There's the briefcase.
Hurry up, Mitchell.
Hold the light steady.
You see it?
Not yet, but it's going to be in here with those papers someplace. Huh? Wait a minute. Here it is. Okay. Now let's get out of here.
Mitchell.
What is it?
I hear voices.
What? Wait a minute. I'll take a look out of one of the holes in the side of the plane. Oh, brother.
Who is it?
Two soldiers, and they're heading this way.
Mitchell, if they discover us here, the whole plane will be ruined.
Yeah, we'll also be slightly dead.
Let's get out of the plane.
Too late. We're too close. They'd see us.
But what will we do?
Get back towards the tail. That's it. Now, get down. Keep quiet.
They'll see us. Quiet.
Well, this looks like one of our planes, Dimitri. Shine your light in the window, and we will see who... General Traska.
General Traska.
Stay on guard here, Dimitri. I will report this at once.
Yes, sir.
Mitchell, we are done for now. We cannot escape with the soldiers standing guard near the plane. Sooner or later, they will discover us.
Yeah. Looks like we're cooked, unless... Wait a minute.
What is it? Oh! Mitchell, you fool! Why did you hit me?
Lieutenant!
See, he heard us.
What is it, Dimitri?
Quiet.
The general is still alive.
What?
I just heard him groan.
Kurkin, help me get him out. We must get him to a doctor at once.
Yes.
There. Now, help me carry him. Hurry.
Well, I must admit, you are a resourceful man, Mitchell.
Looks like the coast is clear. Okay, we'll slip out the other side of the plane and head back to the river.
Mitchell, one thing bothers me.
What is it?
Why didn't you just groan yourself instead of hitting me?
I wanted to make it sound convincing.
I am not convinced.
Ah, you're a skeptic.
One moment.
What is it now?
Just this.
Hey, what's the big...
Now I am convinced. I do groan much better than you.
All right, come on. Let's get out of here, you...
Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell, with Herb Butterfield as the commissioner, is written by Bob Reif and Adrian Jondo, with music by Robert Armbruster, and is transcribed, produced, and directed by Bill Karn. Others in today's cast were Tony Barrett, Paul Duboff, Raymond Burr, and Don Diamond. Be with us again next week at this same time when Brian Donlevy, starring in the role of Steve Mitchell, will embark on another dangerous assignment. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Tomorrow there's fun for you with two delightful families, Mr. and Mrs. Blandings and the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Now here's a reminder. Don't forget to support your Red Cross and give as much as you can. When you give to the Red Cross, your gift is a lift to our fighting men. Now hear Herbert Marshall as The Man Called X on NBC. Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though. Trouble, but when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize this assignment's going to wind up with me depending for my life on a tray full of dirty dishes. Morning, Commissioner. Ruth said you had an assignment for me.
I do, Steve. Your plane leaves for the Middle East in 1 hour.
The Middle East? Don't tell me I have to crawl along that pipeline over there looking for leaks.
You'll be looking for leaks, all right, but not oil.
I don't get you.
Steve, we're on the verge of suffering a very serious diplomatic and strategic defeat.
Well, nothing like a note of cheer to start the day on, I always say. What's the deal?
Take a look at this map of the Middle East, Steve.
Uh-huh.
For some time now, we've been negotiating very secretly with this country here.
What kind of negotiations?
Negotiations which would pave the way for United Nations bases in that area.
I see. But why all the secrecy?
The country in question insisted on it. You see, they've been periodically intimidated by powerful interests to the northeast of them. They wanted to have all the negotiations concluded before any information concerning them fell into what we might call the wrong hands.
Wait a minute. You say there's been a leak? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. This morning we learned through confidential sources that the document containing the complete preliminary discussions regarding military installations is now in the hands of those hostile interests I was talking about.
What? How did that happen?
That's exactly what you're flying to the Middle East to find out, Steve.
I sure get all the cinches, don't I?
Steve, it's vital we plug up this leak. If we don't, the entire negotiations may collapse, which would seriously endanger our entire position in the Middle East.
You say a copy of the document got into the wrong hands. Does anybody know which copy it was?
Yes, that particular copy was last in the possession of a man named Khalid. He's the Middle Eastern country's representative in the negotiations.
Oh, what's his story about it?
He says the document was stolen from his house.
Brother, that particular story's pretty ancient.
Yes, he may be lying. It's up to you to find out. Get over there, Steve. Talk to this Khalid and do whatever you have to get to the bottom of this whole rotten mess. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
The National Broadcasting Company is presenting Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell, colorful two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you'll find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment.
Sure, I've got my assignment. Just a little matter of dropping over to the Middle East and investigating a government figure named Khalid to find out if he's the boy who's been peddling diplomatic secrets to the wrong parties. All of which is pretty sure to make me slightly unpopular with both the government figure and the wrong parties. Yep, I've got an uneasy hunch. I'm about to get voted the boy they'd most like to see drop dead. It's Thursday morning when my plane lands in the Middle East country, and I figure my first step is to talk to this Khalid. So I find out his address and grab a taxi. It's a large house out of the city, and I walk up to the front door, and then I see that it's occupied.
You have business here, perhaps?
Perhaps. Now, if you'll quit blocking the door so I can knock...
You wish to see Khalid, perhaps?
Perhaps again, if it's okay with you.
You will tell me why you wish to see Khalid, perhaps?
You just spoiled your average. Look, I don't know who you are or why you're roosting in front of the door, but I came here to talk to Khalid, not you. Now, if you'll just get out of my way, I'll...
Before you may talk to Khalid, it is quite necessary that I know who you are.
Are you his bodyguard or something?
You might say that one of my men is acting as bodyguard for the moment.
I don't get it, Buster.
Hammer. Lieutenant Hammer. Police Lieutenant Hammer.
Oh, police?
Yes. And now you will tell me who you are, perhaps.
Here, take a look at my credentials, perhaps.
So, it does not surprise me to meet a United States agent here after the unfortunate incident of the theft of the document.
Yeah, but it does sort of surprise me to see a police detective here. Have you got Khalid under arrest?
Let us just say he is being detained for the moment in his house.
On account of the document?
On account of his wife.
What's his wife got to do with it?
At present, nothing. Hmm. You see, last night she was murdered.
What? Wait, you think Khalid killed her?
We do not know at present. Her body was discovered this morning in a ditch several hundred meters down the road. Come, I will show you the place. Here is the ditch where the wife's body was discovered, Mitchell. At that spot over there, to be exact.
You say her body was discovered this morning, Lieutenant Hammer?
That is correct. But the time of her death is, as near as we can learn, was sometime before midnight last night.
Mm. How was she killed? Shot? Stabbed?
It appears she was beaten to death.
Where was her husband last night?
Khalid?
Yeah.
He claims to have been at a civic function. We are checking up on his story. Would you like to question him?
In a minute. First,
What is it?
Hey. Up here by the road near the ditch.
Those footprints?
Yeah.
Yes, I noticed them too. A man's footprints beside the road.
Of course, they're quite a few feet from the spot where the body was in the ditch. Maybe there's no tie-in, but to play safe, it might be a good idea to have a technician from your police lab come out here and check them over.
I will give the necessary orders.
Okay, Lieutenant. Now I'd like to go back to the house and talk to Khalid, see just what kind of a story he's got for us.
If there is anything I can do to help clear up this matter, I will be only too glad to do so.
That's being pretty cooperative, Khalid.
The sooner the murder is solved, the sooner my name will be cleared of these absurd and vicious charges of betraying my country by allowing secret documents to pass into the hands of the
others. Just a minute, colleague. What makes you think your wife's murder is tied in with the other deal?
Why, I just assumed that it was.
I see. I'd like you to tell me where you were last night, Khalid.
Of course. Abura and I went first to dinner at Ali's restaurant.
Who's Abura?
My aide and secretary.
Go on.
Then he drove me over to the new civic building. The dedication ceremony was last night. The building is not ready for use yet, as the cement work is not completed. But they wish to dedicate it anyway, and I was the principal speaker. After the ceremony, Abura and I drove back here to my home.
What time was it?
I would say it was about midnight when we got here. The lights were on, but my wife was missing. There were evidences of a struggle, furniture overturned, and bloodstains. I immediately called the police.
We commenced a search immediately, Mitchell, but it was not until this morning that the body was discovered.
Oh, poor Saharita.
Khalid, did your wife have any enemies?
Enemies?
Somebody who had a reason for killing her?
But everyone loved Saharita. She was kind and gentle.
Looks like at least one person didn't exactly love her.
Wait. Old Mikan.
Who?
Mikan, our servant. My wife dismissed him several days ago.
Oh, why?
She would not tell me her reasons, and I did not press her. But I believe there was a quarrel between them at the time.
I see. Any idea where we could find this servant?
No. When my wife dismissed Mikan, he moved into the city, but where, I do not know.
Khalid, can you describe him for us?
I can do better than that. I believe there is a picture of him in one of these drawers. Ah, yes. Here you are, gentlemen. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Just one more thing, Khalid.
Yes?
I'm still interested in knowing why you connect your wife's murder to the other incident regarding the document.
Why, I suppose because the two events took place within a few days of each other.
According to Lieutenant Hama, your story is that somebody stole that document from your house here.
But of course.
Did you have it locked up in a safe?
Well, no, it was in a desk drawer.
Oh, sounds like a pretty careless way to treat an important document, Khalid.
On the contrary, I felt I was being clever, Mr. Mitchell. I reasoned that the obvious place would be the safe, and that if I merely placed the document in a desk drawer, it would be safer. But it would appear that my stratagem backfired.
Yeah, it sure would appear that way. Well, come on, Lieutenant Hummer.
If I may be of any further help in this matter, gentlemen, please let me know.
Don't worry, we will.
Well, what do you think, Mitchell?
About Khalid?
Yes.
I don't know, Lieutenant Hama. He seems real anxious to help. Maybe a little too anxious.
That was my thought, too. His story sounded almost rehearsed.
I beg your pardon, gentlemen.
Yes?
It is permitted to see Khalid now. I am Abura, his aide.
Sure, sure. But we'd like to ask you a couple of questions first, Abura.
Certainly.
Were you with Khalid last evening?
Yes.
All evening?
Why, yes, up until the time I drove him home, which was about midnight. It was then that we discovered the disappearance of his wife.
That coincides with what Khalid told us, Mitchell.
Yeah. What did the two of you do last night, Abura?
Why, first we had dinner at a restaurant named Ali's, a favorite place of Khalid's. Then I drove him to the building which he was to dedicate. There was the ceremony and his speech. After that, I drove him back to his house here.
I see. Well, that all checks. Okay, Abura. Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Come on, Lieutenant.
Yes.
Well, that sort of puts Khalid in the clear, I guess. Mm.
Yes, and it increases my interest in his servant greatly.
Mikan? Yeah. I think we'd better try and locate him right now. See if we can find out just why Khalid's wife canned him. So we start checking all the hotels and rooming houses in the city. 4 hours and 16 hotels later, we find a desk clerk who recognizes the picture of Mikan. He tells us that Mikan checked out an hour ago and took a taxi cab to the depot. We do likewise in a hurry.
Mitchell, it would appear that our case is beginning to fall into place. Several days ago, the secret document disappears. Shortly after that, Khalid's wife dismisses the servant Mikan. Last night, Khalid's wife is murdered, and now this morning, Mikan appears to be trying to flee the city.
You think Mikan's the boy who stole the document and knocked off Khalid's wife, huh?
It would certainly appear that he... Wait, wait.
Yeah, yeah, that's Mikan. Come on.
The train is ready to pull out. Mikan is trying to get aboard.
Yeah, he's not going to make it. We're gaining on him.
He is old. He cannot move quickly.
Okay, Mikan, hold it.
So, Mikan, let go of me. Stand still.
You seem to be in an awful hurry to get out of town, Mikan.
I was just taking a vacation trip.
Do not lie. That newspaper under your arm, it is folded to the story of the murder of Khalid's wife. That is why you were leaving. Do not deny it.
I... Very well. Yes, yes, that is why I was leaving. I knew that I would be blamed for the killing.
Oh?
But I'm innocent. I swear I did not kill her.
You were dismissed by her several days ago. There was a violent quarrel between you.
Yes, yes.
What was the quarrel about, Mikan?
I...
Answer! What was the quarrel about?
I cannot tell you.
Indeed. Then I have something to tell you. You are under arrest on suspicion of murder. Mitchell, I must say I do not understand nor enjoy your attitude. Here we have a very logical suspect, a man who can give us no alibi whatsoever for last night, and who refuses to tell us why he quarreled with the dead woman. Yet you are not satisfied.
Neither are you, Hama.
What?
You're not trying to convince me. You're trying to convince yourself.
Now, see here, Mitchell...
Look, you don't believe Mikan's the murderer and document stealer any more than I do.
I... Yes, yes, you are right, Mitchell. Mm. It does not seem very likely that a poor, simple old servant who had been in the employ for many years would suddenly betray his mistress' husband and kill his mistress. But if Mikan is innocent, where does that leave us?
Right in the middle of nowhere.
Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Lieutenant Hammer speaking. Yes? Yes? What is that? You are certain of this? I see. Very well, thank you. Well, Mitchell... Indeed, we do have the wrong man in jail.
What do you mean?
I am now convinced that the old servant is innocent. And moreover, I know who the guilty man is.
Well, don't leave me there.
That was the police laboratory.
Huh?
Those footprints you observed beside the road near where the wife's body was discovered in the ditch.
Yeah, yeah, you were going to have the lab check
them. They did check them and compared them with the prints of all those who had any possible connection with the case.
Whose prints were they?
They belonged to Khalid's aide, Abura.
Thank you.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC. There's fun for you tomorrow with two of your favorite families, the Blandings and the Harrises. Mr. and Mrs. Blanding stars Cary Grant and Betsy Drake in the title roles as the proud but somewhat bewildered owners of the famous Dream House. The Phil Harris-Alice Faye Show stars Phil and Alice, of course, plus ever-helpful Frankie Remley, Brother Willie, and Delivery Boy Julius. Yes, there are laughs tomorrow and every Sunday with Mr. and Mrs. Blandings and the Phil Harris-Alice Faye Show. You are listening to Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
So all of a sudden, it looks like our case is winding up fast. We beat it back out to Khalid's house. Abura is still there.
But, gentlemen, I do not understand the reason for all these questions.
Nor do I. Abura is my aide. I trust him completely.
Yeah? Abura, I thought you told us you were with Khalid all evening.
Why, certainly.
Then how do you explain the footprints beside the road?
Footprints? I do not understand.
We spotted some footprints beside the road near the ditch where Khalid's wife's body was found. The police lab says that they're your prints, Abura.
What?
There must be some mistake.
Indeed, there was a mistake, and it appears that you made it, Abura.
Wait, wait.
What is it, Khalid?
But of course, Abura, do you not remember?
What are you talking about, Khalid?
The car, the engine trouble.
Oh, yes. The shock of being suspected made me forget.
Forget what?
You see, on the way home last evening, Mitchell, we had engine trouble. The car sputtered and died. Abura got out to investigate, found the trouble, and fixed it. That is apparently how his footprints happened to be beside the road.
Khalid, to think that we were within a few feet of your wife's body at the time.
Well, Mitchell?
Yeah, Lieutenant, another lead up in smoke.
A very perplexing case, Mitchell. Suddenly we have no suspects.
I know. Khalid couldn't very well have done it if he was dedicating a building at the time.
And Khalid told us Abura left those prints beside the road while repairing the car. That appears to clear Abura.
Yeah, neither one of us believes that the old servant, Mekhan, did the job.
Well, perhaps someone we do not know killed Khalid's wife.
Yeah, but what gets me is, why was she killed? Was it to shut her mouth about something? Was there some kind of a double cross involved?
If we could but answer those questions, we...
What's the matter?
Here, on my desk, I just noticed. There is a note for me. The laboratory technician has been trying to get in touch with us, Mitchell. He has something further to report.
Oh, where is the lab?
Downstairs in the basement.
Come on, let's find out what's on his mind.
Here we are, Mitchell. This door on the left.
Okay. Locked?
The technician must be out looking for us.
You got a key?
Yes, yes. We can wait for him inside. After you.
Thanks. Where's the light switch?
On the wall to your left.
Now, hey, Mama, there on the floor.
Yes, I see.
Brother, that the technician?
Yes, stabbed to death.
Looks like whatever he wanted to tell us, somebody else didn't want him
yes.
to. So I guess now we'll never know what it was.
Perhaps we will, Mitchell.
What do you mean?
If we are lucky. You see, it is required that all reports to be prepared in duplicate.
What? Hey, maybe the killer didn't know that.
That is our one hope.
Where are the duplicate copies kept?
In this basket. Wait, perhaps this is it. Further report on footprints near scene of murder.
Yeah, that must be it. Let's have it.
Here you are.
I see. I don't get it.
Don't get what?
He says that there were traces of cement dust on some of those footprints of Abura's near the ditch, but no cement dust on the rest of the prints.
But what does that mean?
I don't know. Wait, there's some more. He examined the footprints around Khalid's house. He says that Khalid's footprints also show traces of cement dust.
Mitchell, this is very strange. At the scene of the crime, some of Abura's footprints contained cement dust. Others did not. Then at the house, Khalid's prints contained some of the cement dust. I do not see what...
Hold it a minute.
What?
Yeah. I think a few things just fell into place. Look, suppose you go over the lab here and see if there are any clues to the technician's killer. I'm going over and have another talk with Khalid.
But I do not understand the purpose of your visit, Mr. Mitchell. Surely I have answered all of your questions.
I don't think so, Khalid. Look, I want you to think back to the evening of the murder again. Now, tell me exactly what happened.
But we have been over it before.
And we're going over it again.
Very well. My aide, Abura, drove me into the city. We had dinner at a favorite restaurant of mine, a place named Ali's.
Yeah, go on.
After that, Abura drove me to the new building, which I was to dedicate.
And from then on, Abura wasn't out of your sight, huh?
That's right. Well, of course, he had to go back to get my speech.
What's that?
Why, yes, I guess I forgot to mention that to you before.
You sure did.
You see, when I arrived at the new building, I discovered that my speech was missing from the pocket of my coat. I reasoned that it must have slipped out while we were dining. So I sent Abura back to the restaurant to get it.
I see. How long was he gone?
Oh, 10 or 15 minutes, perhaps.
Could it have been longer than that?
Well, I suppose a few minutes more.
Look, Khalid, it's very important we establish just how long Abura was gone.
I know it could not have been more than a half hour, because I was scheduled to speak a half hour after I arrived, and Abura had returned with the speech before then.
Wait a minute. You say that Abura brought your speech back to you?
But of course, that is what I sent him after.
Yeah, that could figure all right. He could have lifted it out of your pocket. Then, when he came back, he handed it to you, and you figured he'd gone back to the restaurant to get it.
Mitchell, I do not understand all this.
I'll explain in a minute. Now, look, did you discover your speech was missing as soon as you arrived at the new building?
Yes, as I was getting out of the car.
And you sent Abura back after it right away?
Yes.
Hmm. So Abura, when he left, hadn't been in the new building at all?
Well, yes, that is right. Of course, he came inside the building a half hour later when he returned my speech to me.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, I'd like to know about a few locations.
Locations?
Yes. That new building you dedicated, how far is it from your house here?
Why, about a 15-minute ride.
I see. And this restaurant where you ate, Ali's, how far is that from the new building?
Why, that is also about a 15-minute drive in the opposite direction from the building. Mitchell, these questions you are asking, surely you do not suspect that Abura is involved in this affair?
Right now, it's a lot more than just a suspicion, Khalid.
What? Oh, I cannot believe it.
Well, the way it adds up. Abura swiped your speech. Then, when you told him to go back to Ali's restaurant to get it, he drove to your house instead. Killed your wife and then returned to the new building with your speech.
But why would he kill my wife?
That I'm not sure of yet, but my hunch is that it ties in with the theft of that document.
Mitchell, your suspicion of Abura, can you prove it?
That's what I'm going to find out right now, Khalid.
How?
I'm going over to that restaurant and talk to Ali. If he tells me that Abura didn't come back there to get your speech that night, then I guess that's the final nail in Abura's coffin. I head for Ali's. It's almost midnight when I get there, and there aren't any customers, and a little guy is sitting at a table in the center of the place all alone. Are you Ali?
Yes. What is it?
My name is Mitchell. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about last night.
Questions? What questions?
Two men came to your restaurant last evening. Khalid and his aide, Abura.
That is quite right. They frequently dine here.
Did you see either one of them again after they left here?
Yes.
What? Don't tell me it was Abura.
Why, yes. He returned about half an hour later and said that Khalid had misplaced his speech. Abura searched around the table where they had eaten, found the script, and left.
Oh, fine.
What is the matter?
Nothing much, except my airtight case just sprang a king-sized leak.
I do not understand.
Well, you've got company there, Ali. I don't understand either. Abura was only gone from the new building a half an hour. It's 15 minutes each way from there to here and from there to Khalid's house. So he couldn't have gone both places during that time. If he came here, he sure couldn't have gone to Khalid's house and killed his wife.
Effendi, I do not know what any of this is about, but if you are through asking questions, I suggest that you leave. It is late and I am tired. I would like to close up.
Okay, Ali. Funny. I'd have sworn Abura was my boy, but right now he's looking awfully clean, so that leaves me right back where I started, fresh out of Leeds.
Please, Effendi, if you do not mind.
Okay. Hey, must be hotter than I thought in here. You're starting to sweat all of a sudden.
Yes, Sam, I'm not feeling very well. Now, if you'll please leave.
Yeah, I'm leaving right now. What stopped me cold is the wall behind Ali. There's a serving window there, but it's pulled down so that there's just a crack left. And in that crack, I spot a glint of metal, a gun barrel. All of a sudden, I know why Ollie's sweating, and also I know I'm not fresh out of Leeds after all. I start edging towards the door, real casual-like, but I don't quite make it.
That will keep you right where you are until I can get around the partition, Mitchell.
Yeah, Bora, it sure will.
It would appear that Ollie here is not a very skillful actor.
I don't know. Seems to me I'd sweat, too, if I knew you were holding a gun on me.
Oh, please, Abura, do not kill me. I did as you ordered. I said everything you told me to say. I will deal with you later, Ali.
You know, Abura, I think I've finally figured out why you killed Khalid's wife.
Indeed?
Yeah, she was the one who stole that document for you. That's probably why she fired the old servant, Mikan. He found out about it and confronted her, but when we questioned him, he was still loyal enough to her memory not to tell us anything.
Quite right. Khalid's wife did procure the document for me, but when she learned that the United States was sending an agent over here to investigate, she became frightened. She said she was going to tell Khalid everything after he returned from dedicating the building.
So you knew you'd have to shut her mouth, huh? You lifted Khalid's speech out of his pocket at dinner, and knowing he'd discover it was missing and send you after it, that gave you time to get to Khalid's house. His wife knew why you'd come. She ran out of the house. You chased her to that ditch and killed her there.
Quite right, Mitchell.
Later, you realized you might have left footprints near the ditch, so when you were driving Khalid home, you faked engine trouble at that spot and got out of the car and planted some more footsteps there as a cover, huh?
May I ask how you found out about me, Mitchell?
The cement dust tripped you up. You killed the lab technician to get his report. What you didn't know was that there was a duplicate copy.
That was rather stupid of me, wasn't it?
Yeah. That report showed traces of cement dust in some of your prints, and none in others. I remembered Khalid telling me that the cement work in that new building wasn't even finished yet. That meant cement dust on the floors. You hadn't set foot in the building yet when Khalid sent you after the speech, so when you killed his wife and left those first footprints, there was no cement dust in them.
Yeah, but later, when I pretended car trouble and got out of the car, I did have cement dust on the bottom of my shoe.
That's right, because in the meantime, you'd been inside that building while Khalid was making his speech.
I admire your cleverness, Mitchell. It is a pity it comes too late for you.
Oh, what happens now?
Oh, to a clever man such as yourself, the answer should be quite obvious. You and Ali here are the only ones who know my little secret.
Abura, no, you're not going to kill.
I'm afraid I must, Ali. Yes, I must kill both of you.
Yeah, I got news for you, Abura. You're going to have to choose which one of us to kill.
What do you mean? I will kill both of you.
I don't think so. Ollie and I are on opposite sides of the room, and you're in the center. You shoot one of us, the other will jump you. So which one of us is it going to be? Take your pick. I'm just running a bluff. Ollie's too terrified to be of any help, but the bluff works because Abura takes his eyes off me a second to shoot a glance at Ollie. And that second is long enough. I dive for the light switch. The slug whistles over me. I hug the floor in the dark and fish my gun out of my pocket. Now I'm going to wait and let Abura make the next move. Then I hear a car outside. There's light enough through the window to tell me it's Lieutenant Hama. This is just great. If he walks in that door, he'll get a slug. And if I try to warn him, I'll reveal my position, and then I'll collect the slug. Got to think of something fast. Then my elbow bunched an object beside me, a serving cart loaded with dishes. I push it a few inches. The wheels don't make any noise. I give it a shove towards the wall and wait. Before it throws a shot in the direction of the noise, I spot the flash and let him have it.
Mitchell.
I'm okay, Lieutenant. Get the lights.
Khalid told me you were over here. By the looks of Abura, I would say the work has been done.
Yeah.
Is it safe now?
You can crawl out from under that table, Ollie.
So, Abura was our killer.
Yeah, he threw me off the trail by getting Ollie to give him an alibi, but I finally tumbled to it. Yeah. Abura had a pretty neat scheme rigged, but it was that cement dust that pinned the killing on him. I guess that's what you might call concrete evidence.
Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell, with Herb Butterfield as the commissioner, is written by Bob Reif and Adrian Jondo, with music by Robert Armbruster, and is produced and directed by Bill Karn. Others in today's cast were Jan Arvan, Paul Duboff, Shep Mencken, Wally Mayer, and Don Diamond. Be with us again next week at this same time when Brian Donlevy, starring in the role of Steve Mitchell, will embark on another Dangerous Assignment. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Tomorrow, there's another hour and a half broadcast of radio's greatest show, The Big Show, starring Eddie Arnold, Jack Carson, Eddie Cantor, Olivia de Havilland, Martha Ray, and many more. Your MC on The Big Show, of course, is the glamorous and unpredictable Tallulah. And tomorrow, Theater Guild on the Air presents Light Up the Sky, starring Joan Bennett, Sam Levine, and Thelma Ritter. I'll hear Herbert Marshall as the Man Called X on NBC.
Thanks for joining us for 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. This is your host, John Hagedorn. We always appreciate reviews and comments. Generally, it works like this. If I hear that you guys like it, I'll bring more. Thanks for joining us for 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. And we'll be back soon.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal, simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal, only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.